Positive organizational culture. Now that we have spoken about managing difficult situations, professionalism and trustworthiness, we should also talk about positive organizational culture. A culture of empathy and professionalization promotes a positive work environment for healthcare staff. Now that we have spoken about how a patient empathy and professionalism to enhance a patient's experience, we have to ensure that same empathy and professionalism in the work environment is going to enhance the staff experience or the healthcare staff experience, which is going to penetrate in his behavior and further. At the end, the patient is going to be, receiving the positivity through the staff. When staff members feel supported, valued, and empowered, they are more likely to deliver a compassionate care. Yes, because they are the people who are in continuously connected with the patient or connect to the patient, they also need that empathy, that professional, basically understanding, and that is going to enhance their experience, which is eventually going to help them deliver compassionate care. A positive organizational culture that prioritizes empathy and professionalism benefits staff satisfaction and retention. So that also helps to, that the staff satisfaction is improved. There are retentions, there are no job, the attrition rate is reduced if the staff is happy and satisfied in the organizational culture. Benefits of care coordination. Seamless transitions. Care coordination ensures smooth transitions between different healthcare providers, departments, and care settings. Patients move from one healthcare setting to another, or transitioning between providers benefits from effective coordination, which results in shared information, appropriate schedule appointments, and continuity in care. So there will be a patient who will be transferred from some X hospital to your hospital. At that time, it is so important that the documentation is appropriate, the handover is appropriate, to benefit patient for the continuity of care. There will be for an example, if a patient is in with an orthopedic OPD who has referred him to a physiotherapist, a proper passing of information from an orthopedic to a physiotherapist by scheduling the appointment in the same desk is going to enhance and benefit the more care coordination between the two departmental, improving the patient's continuity of care and enhancing his experience for a better outcomes of care. There, it reduces confusions, delays, and potential errors. Yes, if there is co-coordinated care or better coordinated care, it is going to reduce confusion, delays, and potential errors, leading to more positive patient experience. Comprehensive and holistic care. Care coordination ensures that patient receives comprehensive and holistic care, addressing physical, emotional, social aspects of health. So while he's in the hospital, we have to ensure that his care is holistic. It is not only physical, but it is physical, emotional, and social, because all this are going to play an pivotal role in the outcomes of the clinical treatments. Healthcare providers collaborate to deliver a complete range of services, including diagnostic consultations and other therapies. By coordinating these services, patients receive necessary care in timely and efficient manner, improving their experience and outcomes. So basically, coordination between multiple departments, it can, in an efficient way or a timely way, improve the patient's experience and outcomes. Improved communication. Care coordination facilitates effective communication between healthcare providers and patients. Healthcare professionals collaborate and share information, providing patients with more cohesive, coordinated approach to their care. This includes clear and timely communication of treatment plan, test results, and changes in care, enhancing patients' understanding, engagement, and satisfaction. See, let us take an example. Once the patient comes in emergency department, form a care of plan for the patient, and also at the same time send certain investigations of the patient. But while the investigation results are out, the care of plan also changes. And then once you have already explained the patient the care of plan, and if you don't bother to explain the change in care of plan, it is going to spoil his experience. So you have to ensure that if there is any test results which are there, which are, you know, have come, that if there is any change of care in consideration of the clinical condition and the test results, you have to ensure that the patient is informed. He understood what are the changes. This is going to enhance his experience. Avoidance of redundant or unnecessary services. Effective care coordinations help to prevent redundant or unnecessary healthcare services. Access to patients' complete medical history and treatment plan enables providers to make informed decisions about appropriate care to be provided. So, patients' complete medical history and treatment plan should be accessible. We have to ensure that we have complete information about the patient's clinically. This prevents duplicative tests or a procedure, reducing patient burden and minimizing necessary healthcare costs. For example, a patient will be a diabetic. While history taking, you may have not asked him a relevant question, that what medications he is on, and you have not asked him when was the last test he had done or he had completed, and you repeat the test for diabetic patient. You repeat the fasting blood sugar, you repeat the HbA1c, you repeat the postprandial sugar. And once the reports are back, the patient said, I have done this test yesterday. So here, the effective communication is very important, or effective care coordination is very important to reduce duplicacy of test, because duplicacy of test is eventually going to add to the health cost of the patient, spoiling his experience. So on a positive note, we have to ensure that we take a detailed history of patient, treatment plans, and you know, discuss the treatment plans, what he is on, and then make the necessary decisions. Patient-centered approach. Care coordination emphasizes patient-centered approach to care. Patients' preferences, values, goals are taken into account when planning and delivering care. Involving patient in care decision and considering the individual need enhances patient satisfaction. We have spoken this in our previous slides, where we have always said that patient-centered approach is about patient participating in his treatment discussions, decisions, his health decisions, and he actively participates, where he is made understood about his health condition, his test reports, he's spoken about the options and the risk involved, and also the outcomes of the treatment. This overall increases the patient satisfaction and he feels engaged in his own treatment. Timely access to care. Care coordination ensures timely access to care by scheduling appointments, coordinating referrals, and facilitating timely communication between providers. So we have to ensure that, you know, there is communication between two departments, the appointments are scheduled well, the coordinations are there, facilitating of time, the patient's appointment is on time rather than making patient wait, will definitely improve his experience. Reduce wait times and delays, enhance patient satisfaction. Chronic disease management. Effective care coordination is particularly important for patients with chronic conditions. It involves regular monitoring, proactive management, and coordination of various healthcare services to ensure that patients receive appropriate and timely care. This improves patient outcome, reduces hospitalizations, and enhances overall experience of patients with chronic disease. Continuity of provider and patient relationship. Care coordination supports continuity in provider and patient relationship. Patient benefits from having a consistent care team that communicates and collaborates effectively. The familiarity enhances the patient's experience, as patient feels more comfortable discussing their health concerns and receiving ongoing support from providers who know their medical history and individual needs. Of course, the patient will feel comfortable when someone who is treating them is already aware about, you know, their medical history and their individual needs. The benefits of patient education and empowerment. informed decision making. The patient education provides individuals with essential information about their health conditions, treatment options, and potential risk and benefits. Well-informed patients can actively participate in decision-making regarding their health care. Understanding their options and potential outcomes empowers patients to make choices aligned with their values and preferences, leading to more positive experience. So, a well-informed patient will be more in a position to take the decisions. If a patient is educated with the essential information and treatment options, risk involved, and the benefits and the outcomes of the treatment, he will be in a position to take a better decision, and he is empowered to take his own decision. Improved adherence to treatment. Patient education helps patient understand the importance of adhering to their treatment plans. So if a patient is educated, he will be more sound enough to take right decisions. For an example, we take a diabetic patient who will, if he is, told about, he's educated that, what food he can have and what food can elevate his sugars, he make him understand the pros and cons and educate him well. Later, while taking the decision about his food choices, he is eventually going to choose the right food against the wrong food, which is eventually going to add up for the better outcomes of clinical treatments. Knowledge about their condition and rationale behind prescribed treatments leads to better compliance. So they should be understanding what medications are prescribed for what ailment and what are the outcomes of those medications or the test. It will help for a better compliance and with medication regimes, lifestyle recommendations, and follow-up appointments. Enhance adherence to treatment improves patient outcomes and contributes to positive patient experience. Active participation in care. The patient education encourages patient to actively participate in their care. It empowers individual to ask questions, express concerns, and collaborate with healthcare providers to develop personalized care plans. Patient who actively engage in their care experience a sense of ownership and are more likely to follow recommend self-care practices, ultimately improving patient satisfaction and outcomes. We have already explained this with an example, so let's move ahead. Improved health literacy. The patient and education enhances health literacy, which is ability to understand health information and navigate the healthcare system. When patients have health literacy skills, they can interpret the health issues in a better way. They understand the health in a better way. Improved health literacy leads to better patient experiences. Reduce anxiety and fear. Of course, if a patient is aware about his health conditions, if he is aware about his pros and cons of the treatment, and he is aware about the side effects, risk, he is more educated about his procedures, the anxiety and the fear is automatically reduced because he is aware. He is known what can go bad, what can improve, and what will be the eventual outcomes of the treatment what he is undergoing. Understanding what to expect during the test, surgeries, or treatment reduces uncertainty and allows patient to mentally be prepared for the situations or for the results of the test. Patient education can include strategies to manage anxiety and coping mechanism, further enhancing the patient experience. Prevention and health promotion. Patient education plays a vital role in preventive health care and health promotions. Providing information about health lifestyle choices, disease prevention, and early detection empowers patients to actively work towards maintaining their well-being. Education about risk factors, screening guidelines, and preventive measures encourages patients to take proactive steps in managing their health. We have already explained this with an example, how a diabetic patient can choose between the right food and the wrong food, and how the outcome or the experience of the clinical outcomes improve in these cases, and how it leaves a positive experience or a positive impact on the patient. Enhanced communication and trust. Patient education improves communication between patients and healthcare providers. Well-informed patients can effectively communicate about their symptoms and concerns and treatments and preferences. These share understanding fostered trust, strengthens the provider patient relationship. So while patient has to be well informed, guided, that if certain symptoms occur, you have to report to the emergency department, or you have to connect to the consultant in such symptoms if some symptoms are arising, and his concerns are addressed and the treatment preferences are explained, it is eventually going to enhance his experience and also build a strong bond between the provider and the patient. Supportive self-management. Patient's education equips individual with the skills, knowledge necessary to manage their health conditions on day-to-day basis. Techniques for symptom management, self-monitoring, and recognizing signs of worsening conditions are provided. Educated and empowered patients experience greater confidence and improved quality of life while managing their health. Promote resolution of concerns and complaints. Patient satisfaction and trust. Promptly addressing concerns and complaints builds trust and demonstrates the healthcare organization's commitment to valuing patient experience. See, anyone would feel that their experience is valued if their concerns are heard, if their complaints are heard, and the resolution is provided to the patient. See, it is not only about listening to the complaint. It is resolving the complaint. It is providing them with the resolution, providing them with a trust that their concerns are not going to re-arise, or whether their concerns are justified or not justified. The patient satisfaction is positively influenced when patient feels heard, respected, and valued. Open communication. Prompt resolution encourages open communication between patients and healthcare providers. Patients have opportunity to express grievance, ask questions, seek clarification, fostering patient-provider relationship. Timely interventions and improved outcomes. Timely resolutions allows healthcare provider to intervene promptly, mitigating potential complications, harm, and improving patient's outcome. So if there is an open communication and there is timely intervention and improved outcomes, the patient's experience and the outcomes are going to be improved. Patient safety. Promptly addressing concerns contribute to patient safety. Identifying potential safety issues, addressing them promptly, and enhancing safety protocols create a safer healthcare environment. Continuous quality improvement. Quality improvement is a continuous process. Concerns and complaints serve as a valuable feedback for healthcare organizations. Prompt resolutions help identify areas of improvement. So when we understand the concerns and complaints, it helps us to improve the way the healthcare organizations are working. We understand the concerns, we find the resolutions to them, we make the necessary changes in the procedures, and it overall benefits the organization as well as patients. So prompt resolution helps identify areas of improvement, facilitate continuous quality improvement, resulting in enhanced patient experience. Mitigating escalation and legal issues. The unresolved concerns and complaints can escalate and lead to legal dispute or damage the organization's reputation. Promptly addressing these issues prevents escalation. So if a patient comes with a complaint, and if it is resolved, or he has given a proper justification about his care of plan or whatever concerns he is raising, it will not lead to escalation. It will not lead to conflict, and eventually it will help us protecting the organization's reputation. A patient-centered approach. Prompt resolution aligns with the patient-centered approach, demonstrating that the organization values patient feedbacks and actively seeks to address patient needs and preferences, enhances patient's experience, contributing improvement in and contributing in strengthening the provider-patient relationship. Continuous feedback loop. Addressing concerns and complaints promptly allows healthcare organizations to establish a continuous feedback loop with the patient. Patients are encouraged to provide feedback, knowing their concerns will be taken seriously and resolving in timely manner. promoting the ongoing environment and ensuring their voices are heard and valued. So we have to ensure that the feedback process is a continuous process. It is not that you have taken a feedback yesterday and if the patient visits you next time, you do not take a feedback because you have already taken a feedback. It's a continuous process. The feedback has to be continuously taken. Whenever the patient visits the hospital, the feedback has to be taken to understand his concern during those visits, to understand his problems during those visits, or to take the appreciation for the services what he has undergone if he has good things to say about it. You know, the patients are encouraged to provide a feedback. So we understand their concerns, we understand our strengths and weaknesses, we understand what improvements are to be done. Patient feedback and quality improvement. Collecting patient feedback. Healthcare organization utilize various methods to collect the feedback. We have surveys, we have feedback forms, we have online platforms, feedback platforms, we have online fail focus groups. So all these are the platforms where a patient can provide his feedback. These channels enable patient to share their experience, concerns and suggestions regarding the quality of care and the services received. Analyzing feedback. Patient's feedback needs to be carefully analyzed to identify common themes, trends and areas of improvement. You may find a certain areas where the complaints are repetitively coming from that particular area. You understand that the concerns are really, you know, something to work upon. Analyzing the feedbacks help us to understand what are the problem areas. And if we work on them, we have to also understand that whether the problem has been resolved or not. So analyzing helps us prioritize the most critical issues requiring attention. Identifying improvement opportunities based on the feedback analysis, healthcare organizations pinpoint area or the processes that require improvement. So while we collect the feedback from the patient and analyze it, we understand what are the areas of focus, what are the areas, critical areas which need immediate attention, or eventually what are the areas we need to provide attention, provide a solution, and what process needs to be improved or the areas need some improvement. So identifying improved opportunities through feedback analysis. Improvement opportunities may encompass communication, wait time, staff behavior, facilities, discharge processes and other factors impacting patient experience. As I told you, patient's experience can, you know, it's more of interaction between individual teams or individual processes where he basically travels or where he, you know, the patient flow goes as he comes to the hospital. So there are a lot of improvement opportunities you may come across. They may regarding the waiting times of the patient. They may be regarding the staff's behavior towards the patients. So from processes to the resources, they can have a various different experiences and which can be an opportunity to improve. Setting quality improvement goals. Clear, measurable goals are established to guide quality improvement efforts. You have to ensure that the measurable goals are established. The goals, whatever are set, can be measured and are to be measured, aligned with identified opportunities. Goals may include improving communication, reducing wait times, enhancing discharge instructions, or enhancing discharge turnaround time. Develop improvement strategies. Healthcare organizations create strategies, action plans for identified improvements, opportunities. These strategies outline specific steps, interventions, and changes required to achieve quality improvement goals such as staff training, process re-engineering, policy revision, or technology implementation. So while we get the feedback, we analyze, we understand what the concerns are, or find find the area of improvement, then comes goals, comes improvement, developing improvement strategy around those goals. Implementing changes. Identified improvement strategies often involve collaboration and coordination among various departments and staff members. changes may be introduced gradually as a part of a pilot project to assess their effectiveness before broader implementation. So rather than going holistically, all the changes over overall hospital, which will be time consuming, and then if you know the project is not effective, taking back the project will also involve the cost. So as a pilot, you have to choose the area where there is more problem, focus on those areas, you have to set a goal and see the access the effectiveness before broader implementation. Monitoring and evaluation. After implementing changes, healthcare organizations monitor and evaluate the impact on patients' experience and satisfaction. So once you have implemented changes, you also have to monitor and evaluate the patient experience and satisfaction. Ongoing data collection, feedback gathering, metric tracking helps assess effectiveness and identify additional adjustments. So all these things help us understand, make the adjustments in the processes, readjustments in the processes, and then implement the processes. Continuous improvement. Quality improvement in healthcare operations is an ongoing process. See, improvement is an ongoing process. It doesn't stop when you receive a feedback, you find a resolution, you implement a resolution, but it is an ongoing process. You have to again take a feedback. Sustainability has to be there. So to have a sustainability, you have to have a continuous procedure. The procedures will work in cycle. Healthcare organization continuously seek patient feedback, assess performance and identify new opportunities for improvement, ensuring a continuous cycle. Like I said, it has to be a continuous cycle, enhancing patient's experience, delivering healthcare quality care every day, every minute and every second while patient is in the hospital. Measurement and benchmarking. Define objectives and metrics. Begin by clearly defining objectives for measuring patient satisfaction, such as communication, staff responsiveness, cleanliness, wait time, information provision, and overall satisfaction. Identify relevant metrics or survey questions that align with these objectives to collect actionable data. So while you are while you are measuring, you should know that whatever survey form is being created should align to the services what is provided to the patient. So the whatever feedback is shared post survey form is filled is important, and it is the objectives are very clear to measure the patient satisfaction. Select measurement tool. Choose appropriate measurement tools such as surveys, questions, interview, focus groups, or online feedback form. So we should understand what are the appropriate measurement tools applicable in a certain department, and you have to focus according to those departments and plan the questionnaire or plan the measurement tool accordingly. So it can differ department to department, service to service. So you have to ensure, or you can have a common tool also, but the questions in the tool or questionnaire tool, the questions will be changed as per the services in that particular department. For example, the questions which are relevant for OPD will not be relevant for IPD patients, will not be relevant for the diagnostic patient. So you have to ensure that there are different questionnaire or the tools used for different areas, which are appropriate according to those areas. Consider using standardized survey instrument like CAP survey for reliable data collection. Develop a survey instrument. Design a survey instrument. If surveys are used, ensure your questions are clear, unbiased and relevant. Like I spoke about it already, you have to ensure that the questions are relevant to the department. You can't ask an IPD patient that what was the registration time in OPD. You can't ask how was their experience while they were consulting in the OPD while they had just come directly for an IPD admissions. You can't ask OPD patients that how was their experience in an emergency department. So design a survey instrument as per the department, which is unbiased and relevant to the department. Utilize a mix of closed-ended and open-ended questions to gather both qualitative and quantitative data. Determine sample size and sampling method. Decide on a statistically significant sample size and choose the appropriate sampling method, ensuring the representativeness. As per me, if you ask, the sample size should be 100%. But 100% sampling size is very difficult when we take a patient's feedback. So you have to decide what will be the significant sample size which will help you, which represent the issues, which will help you make the changes and take the correct decisions. Account for demographic and factors influencing patients' experiences. Collect data. Implement a data collection process offering multiple feedback channels like online surveys or comment boxes. Prioritize patients' confidentiality and anonymity for honest responses. You should not make it compulsory or compulsion for revealing patient's information. A patient may give an anonymous feedback also, which should be acceptable. Analyze data. Once data is collected, analyze it to gain insights and identify patterns. Employ statistical analysis tool, descriptive statistics, or data visualization to interpret the data effectively. Benchmarking. Compare patient satisfaction data with the relevant industry standard or industry set benchmark. You can also have national set or regional average benchmark, but ensure that the benchmarking is done. Benchmarking offers context for understanding your organization. So benchmark will help you understand where your organization lies as per the industry standards. It highlights the areas of improvement. Action planning and improvement. Develop an action plan based on analysis and benchmarking results. Prioritize initiative, allocate resource, engage healthcare providers and staff, set specific goals, implement changes for enhanced patient satisfaction. Monitor progress and continuous improvement. Continuously monitor patient satisfaction metrics over time. Review progress regularly, evaluate impact of improvement initiatives and make necessary adjustments. See, it is not always that you plan a change or an improvement initiative which is 100% effective. There will be an opportunity or for necessary adjustment or necessary changes, and we should be open about necessary adjustments. Ensure patient satisfaction remains a key focus in the organizational ongoing quality improvement efforts. Here, you have to ensure that patients and satisfaction is a key focus while you are implementing the changes. Staff training and development. Enhancing skills and competences. Staff training and development programs help healthcare professionals acquire and enhance essential skills including communication, empathy, active listening, problem solving, cultural competence, and teamwork. So essential skills what are required for the staff are all the skills what I have mentioned here, and we have to ensure that we train the staff to acquire those skills. These programs equip employees to effectively meet patient needs. The customer-centric approach. The training programs cultivate a customer-centric mindset, emphasizing the importance of understanding and meeting patients' expectations, delivering personalized care, and providing positive and compassionate environment. A customer-centric culture leads to consistent and exceptional patient experience. So the training programs cultivate the customer mindset, customer-centric mindset. It helps staff to understand what are the expectations of the patient, what is their mindset, and it helps delivering those expectations. Improved communication. I always say communication is the key. Effective communication is vital for positive customer experience. It can happen that yes, the consultant is being late in OPD and the waiting time is increased. But an effective communication to the patient about the delay will help us building a bridge with the connection, building a connect with the patient, which will improve the patient-provider relationship, which will enhance his experience. He will feel happy. Yes, he was informed about the delay. There will be the reasons where the processes are delayed, where there are delays in the consultant arrival. It is absolutely okay. There will be genuine delays, but a communication to the patient about those delay will improve their experiences, and with an effective communication, it will enhance their experiences. They feel that while they are waiting, they have been, their wait has been acknowledged, their time has been acknowledged here. The staff training program enhanced communication skills, teaching healthcare professionals how to interact with patients, listen actively, and convey information clearly and empathetically. Improved communication leads to higher patient satisfaction, reduces misunderstanding, and fosters trust between patient and healthcare providers. Cultural competence. Healthcare organizations serve diverse patient population. Staff training should include cultural competence components to ensure that the healthcare professionals understand and respect the patient's culture, his priorities, his values, his beliefs. We have to ensure that we respect each other's, irrespective of patients, we have to ensure that we respect each other's culture, cultural beliefs, values, and practices. This enables healthcare providers to deliver culturally sensitive care, fostering a more inclusive and respectful customer experience. Thank you.